Thank you. Rolls Royce. Oh, is it? It's going. Hello. It is in fact going. The show is going, whether I'm ready or not. That's just the way it works here at J-Pop vs. Metal. My name is Jim. We have a very boredoms heavy show today. I could easily make this an all boredoms show. I guess I'm not going to do that. I don't know. I don't have a lot of... Well, the thing is, there's not a lot of activity over on the social media, so I guess we're just going to scrap the entire thing and just start something totally new. And, seems like a good strategy. What you heard today, at the top of the show, was Boredoms with JetNet. From WoW 2, or is it I don't know if this is meant to be pronounced the Japanese pronunciation or what. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's... Well, they have a song making fun of that, don't they? This was on the 1993 on the Avant label, a project of Hips Road. Copyright 1993, Disc Union. Disc Union's label, which I don't think exists anymore. Disc Union is a very good record store in Tokyo. And this is a very good record. Boredoms have the best, probably the best artwork of the era. The CDs are really worth getting. I remember buying this at the HMV in New York. Probably paid a lot of money for it. Just to import only. That was not something that was re-released. I believe it was recorded live. The entire thing was recorded live. Oh, you know what? On the CD itself, it actually has katakana. Wa-u-tsu. So that solves that mystery. See that? See? I have the actual CD in front of me, so I actually can tell you actual facts about it. And an actual fact about this Brutal Truth CD, Goodbye Cruel World, 1999 live thing. Everyone get out your Brutal Truth double disc version of Goodbye Cruel World, and I guess get a Sharpie or maybe some white out. I actually think it's a black background. So I don't know. Any way you want to do it. The song entitled Bubble Bop Shop on the CD is obviously the song JetNet by the Boredoms. That is the song they're covering. Obviously, they do a pretty faithful cover. And then the next song, which was entitled Boredoms Cover 2, was actually the song Bubble Bop Shot from the Soul Discharge. I had that version from Soul Discharge 99, which is not quite exactly the same. I recommend the Shimmy Disc version. Shimmy Disc version of Soul Discharge that has something called Early Boredoms with it. It's more like two EPs. But the thing about the Boredoms, this particular disc is just put on, it's just one track. Soul Discharge is one track, which originally came out in 1989. And in early Boredoms, it says 1982 to 1987, but that was released as another album. Their first album, which is called, Orizon No Stooges Kyo? It actually says the words Oneni Bomb versus Sex Pistols on the cover. But that's not the name of the album. When they re-released it, they re-released it as Oneni Bomb versus the Sex Pistols, and they retitled a lot of the songs. It's the same It's almost the same content. They did change up the track list a little bit, but they retitled the songs. So with the boredoms, you can't really blame the confusion with, you don't know which pressing they had or which album and how confusing the track listing was. And there's not a whole lot of, to go with in the song itself to tell you which song is which. So that's what happened there. But just correct that on your version. Naturally, that's just what you do on your own personal copy. Just scratch that out and write in the correct titles. Birushana after that. Akayami. That is a band that toured. Japanese band. They've got some Kodo in there. Japanese band that toured with Botanist. I meant to play that last week, and I didn't. That song, Akayami, was a little over 20 minutes long. I did not intentionally choose it for that reason, but it is convenient for today because it gives me more time to work on the talking portion of the show, which needed a little work from last time. Things went a little off the rails. It wasn't too bad, but I can do better than that, I think. We don't have to really go off like that anymore. I feel like we've established some kind of base of quality for not going completely. I'm not having a total nervous breakdown during the course of the show anymore. I don't know if you've gone back. If this is the first time you're listening, not every show is like this. But if you're a long-time listener, it can't be Utada versus Slayer every show. So bear with me on that. And I mean, you can get involved in that. You can actually get involved on the social media and try to sway me to play some stuff that you like, possibly like more. You can do that. I don't have a problem with that. We don't have to agree on everything. I think I've shouted out some people. I've like recommended some other podcasts. These aren't people I agree with 100%. This is like a weird thing now where people have to like agree with everything to be friends. That's not really a thing. I mean, there's some certain political things. I feel like the like arguments for like, oh, like one side is as bad as the other. I feel like that's in the past. Like one side is obviously wrong at this point. But we should be working on like agreeing on other little things that maybe aren't like end of the world important, you know what I mean? So like certain things like Chris Ott, Stereo Williams, forget who else I mentioned, other people, Requiem Metal Podcast is a good one, Phil's Breakfast Metal, these aren't people I agree with 100% on like their album choices or whatever. I think Chris Ott had like a, he didn't have a rant against the Boredoms, but he specifically said he hates the Boredoms. That's one of my favorite groups of all time. I still like the way he talks about music. It's not, I don't like him because I agree with everything he says 100%. I like the way he talks about music. And a lot of people, that's not a common, the way he talks about music used to be more common in the cultural, the Gen X cultural, aesthetic or whatever you want to call it. Milieu was more like aggressive, opinionated, you know. I guess that's kind of not the main it's not the mainstream alternative anymore, you know what I mean? The alternative mainstream, it's not how people talk about music anymore. But don't be intimidated. Throw out your opinion. We can have a friendly disagreement on things over on the Facebook page, J-Pop versus Metal. More people are subscribed to the show than like the Facebook page. Like it's twice as many people, at least it's more than twice as many people. So I don't know if this is just people out there just tuning in to listen to me fail. You know me from somewhere else. I don't know. You might want to get another hobby if that's the case, because I mean most of the show is music you probably don't like, as you gotta get something else to do with yourself. So yeah, feel free to interact. We don't have to agree with everything on everything. because people, I post a bunch of stuff and then from out of nowhere, I get like immediate likes on some of the things. So it's like people are looking, they're just like suffering through a bunch of stuff they don't like and like waiting. They like the show. They like me for some reason, for whatever reason. They might know me from something else, might be friends with me from somewhere else, and they like the show just because I do it. And like they're just suffering through all the stuff that they don't like. And then one thing comes up that they do like. It's like, oh, I wanna tell him that I don't hate everything that he likes. But you could say, hey, like this, what is this? This sucks, or whatever. You know what I mean? You can chime in with the stuff if you're actually paying attention. Anyway. Oh, that actually, that song Kayami, that was 20 minutes long, means Red Darkness. And that came out in 2007. I thought that was a new-ish record, at least. That was, got it off Bandcamp. And, I don't have anything else to say about it. I don't know anything else about the band. Although I should, I just listened back to myself. I should pronounce the word Koto correctly. Trying to sharpen up my pronunciations. Trying to speak to you in a way that's most comfortable to me, which makes sense because it's a show that I do that I receive no compensation for. So I might as well do something that speak in a way that's comfortable to me. But I want to sharpen up my pronunciation of words so I'm just not confusion of which word is which. The Koto, the Japanese harp kind of thing is what you heard on that track. And I wanted to say something else about this Boredoms record. It was recorded live. The most well-known Boredoms records are the ones that came out on Warner Brothers, probably. If they're not the most well-known to you, in general, I think that they're the most widely distributed records. Maybe that doesn't mean anything anymore, but it used to be widely distributed. I got the got my copy of Pop Tatari in the bargain bin for $2. I think it was at the Berlin Flea Market. Pretty sure. It was just a promotional copy. So there was a lot of copies of those floating around. Pop Tatari and a Chocolate Synthesizer was the other big one. And the Super Roots EPs, some of them, hard to get a complete run of the Super Roots EPs, especially back then. But yeah, those are the big records, and they have a lot of like post-production going on in them. But this particular record, WoW 2, it was recorded live at, says it right here, recorded October 92 at BC Studio, Brooklyn. The engineer was Martin Beesey, who recorded the famous albums by Sonic Youth and Swans. So they just recorded live. I was really impressed when I first heard the Boredoms, and it just sounded like they were improvising everything. And I saw them live, and they were performing the songs exactly as they were on the record, almost, except for the post-production, of course. That was really impressive to me. They used to have an insane stage presence. I've got a picture of them here performing. They've got like stuffed animals tied to their heads. There's a lot of like screaming into long plastic tubes, costumes, a lot of jumping, all that kind of stuff. They're mostly known as like a psychedelic jam band now, which is fine, but it's very different. Another thing about this record. You've got the Avant logo here. I guess this was just something, I've never seen it before. I think it was something just the Boredoms did. It just says Life is Okay. They have the Avant Records logo. It's a very kind of serious, kind of fascistic looking logo that very popular in the 90s. Kind of serious, like we are serious experimental people, you do not understand us. And it just says Life is Okay right by there in a weird font. And it's repeated several times throughout the artwork, Life is Okay. And I remember at the time, that was like one of the few like positive things in the 90s scene. It was just, everything was so dark and like, I mean, I was depressed. It wasn't directly related. I wasn't trying to be depressed on purpose, but it was like a ray of, I mean, because they seemed like a very nihilistic, it's very Dada. There's few direct representations or manifestations of the Dada aesthetic in music as the Boredoms. They really take it consistently. Every record is this weird thing with no real words on it. And there was something positive about it, which maybe doesn't come through. You really have to, I really can't recommend enough interacting with the, I don't know if you interact with it, but just taking a look at the artwork for the Boredoms. Definitely the best band photos of the era, without a doubt. Anyway, after all that, after that big mess of the Japanese black metal with the Koto, you heard Pizzicato 5 with Rolls Royce, 1998, from the Playboy and Playgirl album, which came out, that was a simultaneous, I believe it was the first simultaneous release from Columbia, came out in Columbia in, I believe it was Columbia, Japan, and then it came out on Matador, and it was the same exact record, came out at the same time in both countries, and that was the first, that was a couple of them. Maybe, I think that was the only one I was planned to be more like that, but it's the only one that's the same in both countries. And that featured Satoshi Ikeda. He's another singer. I thought he was the saxophone player, but that's just another anonymous session player, apparently. But he, Satoshi Ikeda, you can look him up. I just looked him up now, so don't feel bad if you don't know about him, but I guess he co-wrote the song. I guess he's singing the melody along with the usual suspect, Makinomiya. Ending the set was Shining, Norway's Shining, with Where Your Story Ends. Here's Where Your Story Ends. Oh, I forgot to note the exact wording of the title on that one, from the album 111, 2013. Fun stuff there, and that was the set. Oh, I made another mistake. What mistake did I make? I made a few mistakes on the last couple shows. The Psychobop. The Psychobop album came out in 2017. It was not a brand new release. I thought it was a brand new release. They just happened to tour. They happened to be touring. I really wish I hadn't seen that. She came twice with the other thing. She was doing a thing with, whatever. I missed both of them. Just missed Guitar Wolf. I'm missing Mono tonight. I'm missing all the things today. Today and recently, I'm just missing a lot of shows. But we're not gonna dwell on that. You can't get to everything. Made a mistake on that. Made a mistake on, I forgot to play that Guitar Wolf song. The Guitar Wolf. Oh, I made a mistake. I was talking about Guitar Wolf. That album, last week I was talking about the Guitar Wolf album. If I had checked that day, I would have seen that the album had just come out on Third Man Records, and I posted that over on the Facebook page. The album came out on Third Man Records in America, so you can't get the Japanese version, which is the same songs. We'll play that. We'll talk about that next week. I meant to play it this time, but I got distracted with this thing, and you know, it's got to fit in the flow. Because otherwise there's no coherence to the show. if we don't go with the flow of the songs, it's just complete chaos. And we want to avoid that. At least I do. I do in my life. Also, I mentioned something at some point about Morning Musume. I said those five girls, they added three girls and those eight girls. That is incorrect. I forgot again about Fukada Asuka. She left first. Those five girls, she left. Those Yuko, Natsumi, Kaori, and Aya. Aya Shigoro, who I mentioned. That was the five girls. She left. Then they added three. Then they added the third generation was just Maki Goto, which was a big deal, because that replaced Abe. Abe Natsumi was the big deal member of the group. Then it became Maki Goto. You needed to know that. We're trying to discuss facts here on the show. And that is a fact. And that's all the facts for this week, I think. This was okay, right? I got it done in an insane manner, kind of. That's good, right? We discussed some things, right? That's good, isn't it? There's people listening to this, right? It's not just bots. Do bots subscribe to podcasts? I don't know. Could you let me know? I mean, I don't really need to know. I'm gonna keep doing the show anyway, because I don't have a lot else going on in my life. That's just a fact. But could you let me know on the? Could you just say, if you could just. Never mind. Don't worry about it. You don't actually have to say the words. I listen to the podcast. That you do, and I enjoy the podcast that you do. Or you don't have to enjoy it. I listen to the podcast that you do. Can you, if you can say that, if you listen to the podcast, could you say that to me? Could you not make it like a weird passive-aggressive thing? That even if you enjoy it, you can't directly refer to it? I don't know. Just a thought. All right, that is it. Owari.
Hey! Bone! I'm a man. My bad name is Mr. Money on his penis with a bone. Ah, well. Is this Potops?
No!
Is this Modabuzum?
No!
Onadam?
No!
Oh, I am the Bonadam S!
No! You asshole!
Salamba Chippy! Oh, Alisa. Ahudams?
Yeah!
Oh, Bowen! Oh, Bowen! Bulldoms?
Yes! And go!
Stand up!